어제 다디나 임바인디다 떡근디 고르 지 돈이 더버지 떡지지세네 돈바니 모선도 마타고 떡을까라 어제 떡지디 농고세네 송아지 단 늘라용 코나리스진디 언니 송아딘디니가 도진다고 요아 말이디 너 돈바니 모선도 떡볼로라 자리마인디 모선도 떡볼로라 떡지디 농고 말이세야지 就我想到马道我到几个路了弄个的司机可能你俩就用的外人都用都几个人的你个都是光的上下的奥尼上下的你个跟着的有个手机有个有个的也是你个喜欢你跟着个有个马的话的那人都但得了困难的盯着前面几年就是的工作机当年我想到到不车用的的都把你我想到到不车呢我想到到不路的让了人老跟那边是的 李小东李小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东小东 yang dhriya yuwa maari. Sanjiga sana jitaba dan jin nipa ni tu chikta zika yuwa ri. Sowa chika yin shenchi nyamjagwa ngu na nyamjag zidu chika rangka mgir di ngu samta tapa ngu de la chika tongba ni ngu samta takde yu na kandzub ku chukanya manna sangu yuwa ri. O chika tanda na kandzub li ka manna yang jiji goni li nanjur dan chabi chara se jiti chika sendiga yukcha kashi na Namjau Ishi, Rongongola, Gonzopa Noa Manos, Namjawa Korongongola, Nongayos, Jesadina, Jedenga Gonzola, Nongayos, what you that in that you saw in the Dean Josephic song you did.
There was one last statement that I forgot to read before, where the author says, I did not write this through doubt about how to understand it, but through applying the explanation of the two truths, I came to understand it. Now, there is further debate on this issue of exactly what appears and whether how emptiness is comprehended, what appears when emptiness is comprehended perceptually, and so on. So there's a further debate saying, regarding that, one says, it follows that when yoga without signs perceptually comprehends emptiness by the strength of meditation, the body of the deity possessing the aspects of a face and arms appears because your thesis is correct. All right. So previously the author has stated a number of texts and has proven the point. So it says it would follow from what you said that when you perceptually comprehend emptiness, then you can also perceive relative aspect. And now Wang Pelden replies to that, there is no privation because although the body of the relative deity does not appear, it is posited as deity yoga by means of continuity. Now, what was said, the point here that is discussed is what really appears at the time of meditative equipoise, when one meditates on emptiness, when one has the perceptual realization of emptiness. In order to understand that, we need to examine this in two levels. One is on the level of a learner, and the other one is on the level of a non-learner. When we talk about a non-learner, there is no contradiction because both the ultimate and the relative truth can appear, can be held simultaneously by the same awareness. A non-learner, it can, both truths. A non-learner, a Buddha, can have both levels of truth at the same time. When we talk about the equipoise of a learner, right, and what appears into that mind. Now, the usual assertion that we have is that if you have a being who is on meditative equipoise on emptiness, emptiness only appears into that mind. So no conventional aspects such as the form of the deity, the arms, the eyes, and so forth could possibly appear. But what we find in some of the notes of study texts in various that are used in various monasteries is that when we talk about equipoise, so we can make the distinction between the primordial awareness of equipoise and of equipoise itself. So it is said that conventional aspects do not appear to the primordial awareness of equipoise, but for the equipoise, In general, we can say that conventional appearances do appear. Relative truth. Now, we continue again with some more further clarifying comments on that. Now, it says, in general, if it is either the yoga with or without signs, there is no provision that the body of the deity with the aspect of face and arms will appear, because in this context, there are four yogas, right? It's not just two yogas, there are four. There is deity yoga, there is empty yoga, wind yoga, and repetition yoga. These four are subsumed by both yoga with signs and yoga without signs. Why is that? This is because the tantric stages state that in action and performance tantras, there are four important yogas, deity and empty yoga, wind and repetition yoga. In that, the two yogas of the relative and the ultimate deity are the main establishing factors of the two bodies. Since repetition is the branch for motivating the mind of whichever deity is meditated upon, it is subsumed as a branch of relative deity yoga. Since wind yoga is the branch establishing both deity yogas, it is subsumed by both yogas. Through that, the four are subsumed by two, the yoga with signs and the yoga without signs. So what we're saying here is that when we really examine this practice of action and performance tantras, we don't talk about two yogas or two stages, but rather we can look at it from the point of view of having four yogas. From amongst those four yogas, two are the most important, the main ones, and the remaining two, you can say that they're branches of that, they're almost secondary. So the two main important ones are the ultimate yoga and the relative yoga, the deity yoga. In terms of ultimate yoga, we meditate on emptiness, and this is the practice of wisdom. Now, the relative part of the practice, where the body of the deity appears and so forth, is the deity yoga, right? This is the second of the two main yogas. And as for the mantra recitation, this is like a branch, this is like a secondary thing that you do. But because it's not an ultimate truth, it's a relative truth, for that reason we are going to put it under, let's say, the umbrella of deity yoga, of the relative yogas. As for the wing yoga, because it is necessary, since it brings stability both to the deity yoga and the empty yoga, it is combined or it is subsumed by both of these categories. Now, if we divide the four yogas like this, you will see that basically we end up with the two main categories, and we have sub-cases out of these two main categories. And these main categories of the deity yoga and the empty yoga, including the other two, eventually are classified as yoga with signs and yoga without signs.
mara tokyo ni shimjin da wo mamu jin na yu ding da de go ji kur ji yo banang go samba ti to da ji wa ti ngudu de ya go kur de yan du shyo ji go ji di ni ka go da ji wa no ra de la sa ba shi di la de ni ra ti ru ban samba so de ba don ti ko ji nang go lu ji ni na zo sa ji me nang go jong kur gom ni shi ji la sa ba li de ba don ti ju ko ni wa do da yong ko samba ti ja ba la sa ba de ba shi ni
Now, we have explained the third part, which was the way to perform the approximation, and also you see the way to meditate has been presented with a number of debate, and a number of issues have been examined in that. So now we move into the fourth part of the presentation, which is the way to attain the siddhis. The text reads as this. Through relying on external substances, such as the sword, etc., one attains knowledge-bearing of the sword, etc. Through meditating on the mandalas of earth, water, wind, and fire in abodes inside one's body, one attains the feats of pacification, increase, etc. Through establishing manjushri, etc., if such a bodhisattva were to stroke one's head or congratulate one at the end of one's recitation, it is stated in this sutra to be the sign of attainment of the concentration, not forgetting bodhicitta. Many ways to attain this and other siddhis are stated. So let's take that from the beginning, where it says by using external substances such as the sword. This one refers to the case of relying on a sword and being able to fly in the sky and therefore transfer oneself quickly to certain places where teachings are given and so forth. Now, the second one talks about meditating on the mandalas of the four elements in different places inside one's body, and through that one attains the feats or the siddhis of the four different types of activities such as pacification, increase, overpowering others, as well as ferocity. And this can be quite useful because, for example, you could increase your merit, you could increase your lifespan, you could increase your resources in terms of pacifying things, you could pacify diseases and so forth. Now, the last example that is given here is through establishing manjushri and so forth. And it says, you know, it could be manjushri, it could be generesic, it could be vajrapani, as we said. So any of the bodhisattvas would actually appear and interact with you, stroke you on your head or congratulate you, and in this way indicate that you have done the practice well, right? And again, this will be a sign of obtainment of certain types of concentration. So you see there are different types of siddhis as before. Now, we have already completed the part of the text dealing with action tantra, and we also completed the presentation of performance tantra. We start now with the third class, which is yoga tantra. Now, the way to progress on the path of yoga tantra has four: becoming a suitable vessel, keeping the vows and commitments pure, the way to perform approximation, and the way to attain siddhis. So again, the presentation is following the usual formula. So for the first one, becoming a suitable vessel. One becomes a vessel suitable to meditate on the path through attaining the empowerments bestowed in such mandalas, such as the Vajra sphere mandala, etc. Rishi was saying that there is a number of different deities in Yoga Tantra, and therefore there would be a number of their respective mandalas, right? So in any mandala that is suitable for this class, you can receive the empowerment. But there is difference between those who merely have the trainee empowerment, who hold only the bodhisattva vows, and those on whom are bestowed the complete Vajra master empowerment, who hold both the bodhisattva and the tantric vows. Up to here in action and performance tantra, we said that the only vows to be kept are the bodhisattva vows. But here with the yoga tantra, a distinction is made. Now, we mentioned initially in the first session when we were talking about the number of empowerments involved in each class of tantra, that when we come into yoga tantra, the standard presentation is that we have six types of empowerments. The first five are the knowledge empowerments, the first group of common five empowerments. If you receive only those five, then you are what is called here a trainee. And as a trainee, you only hold the bodhisattva vows. You do not assume the tantric vows. But if you receive the whole set of six empowerments, so if on top of the five common empowerments you also receive the Vajra master empowerment, then you will be assuming tantric vows as well. So in this case, you will be having both bodhisattva and tantric
vows. Rida di ji sa ji di ni di wa si kam di ji di san ba nam ju ge ja la sa ji sa ji di ni di wa si ji si ji du ji se mo si ji ji o ji da de ni pan sa ga tam bo si ji de yang ji di yang ji di ni That the new Tujing and songs on Jews, the Kuru number on the good Jiddi Tujing thing, that Jigan Akanda would number the Jiwari, or that Gon Tarjan, Panjo Tamboni song, or Tamsina, that song so, see, song Guadi, Dombasam Ningo, and the Chinatin Rayudin.
Now, we come to the second part, having explained how to become a suitable vessel, and the second part is dealing with the vows and commitments and how to keep those pure. So it says, if one is a suitable vessel of emancipation vows, it is necessary to establish them through possessing the three vows. Now, we can examine this from the point of view of being a lay practitioner or from the point of view of being an ordained person. Now, if you're a lay practitioner, it says here that if you're a suitable vessel for holding the vows of individual liberation, eventually you will come to possess the three types of vows. So let's say for a lay practitioner who will have vows of individual liberation, such as Genyen vows or Nenyen vows, on top of that they could have a Bodhisattva vows, and on top of that they could have the Tantric vows. Right? So this is how you end up with the three sets of vows. If we examine the case of ordained people, in the case of vows of individual liberation, they would have, of course, their ordination vows. On top of that, they would hold Bodhisattva vows, and on top of that, they would hold the Tantric vows. It says, therefore, one should have all three vows and guard the commitments as stated in the Supreme Glory and in the Peak. Now, in the case of Yoga Tantra, we have a number of texts that are relevant to this class. And these two texts, the Supreme Glory and the Vajra Peak, are two of the most important tantras, especially the Vajra Peak tantra is almost like the root or the main tantra for this class.
Ori dadin ra chi na dadin ni da ang go kur dong bo ten ni wa dam zi na dong bo kur di ni wa di tro da sam ba lam go mya di chen chi ga na jur dan chen mi ga na jur ye di ang ma sam bo la me tin dai me chi gwan ro tau jang ni tin dai yin ba yin du sam ba la ni chen ma na jur na jur dan chen ma me ba na jur ni dong bo chen chi ga na jur de la yang nong si go ji dong bo la ni ro ba la la mu ba dan cha ba xiang zhen la mu ba wo si ที่ลีกซึยองซอลามิบะติมุบะรอบวันโดวะรอบรมโดวินติงยองลีกีนองกอจีทิกีอีอีกีนราตองยองเตจีช่องรตองเนมุมุเตนติทารตองอะตินดะกอทารองนี่วะยินดูทะบะช่องเซนลามิบะคอกนี่ชิดาตองโบรอบะลาลามิบะเตลากัมติจีนันจุจะลาญิญบะจีวะตองยะเนตองยะจีดาดิวะตองยะคอกซึมราจีซองยะกุยวะติเตยิน ตําบวนะโทมิยองจําโทบิเมตตากรณาบาบะลีนันจุจิเตนจะบาดาติขอจิโลบวนจิวองโทบิธรรมะละวองกระวะยะนะวองกระวะดะรังกะละตะบาละดอซะวะนันจุจิเนโบดาจิวะติงเงินซัมทวะเมบะกวนบะญิญบะจีวะตองยาจิโอจิตะตินิจังกุรจันจากกอเจจังละซะบะดีวะญิญบะเนตองยาจิดาตินิตะนันจุจิเนโบทาริริ
Now, we come to the next part, which is dealing with a way to perform approximation. And in this one, we have two parts. First of all, we have yoga with signs, and then we have yoga without signs. In the first one, which is yoga with signs, again, we have two subdivisions. The first one is focusing on the whole deity, and the second one is focusing on specific hand implements. And it is said that focusing on the whole deity is actually more or less a rough way of meditating. It's not so detailed. In the second case, what we do is we shrink the size of the focal object. So we might be concentrating on a seed syllable, we might be concentrating on a hand implement, whatever the focal object is going to be very small, and therefore the meditation becomes more detailed, more subtle. So let's look at the first one, focusing on the whole deity. In this one we will have a presentation of three types of approximation retreats: the extensive one, the middle length one, and the condensed one. So It says, by obtaining merely the trainee empowerment, one has the commitment for the yoga of the deity upon which the flower has landed. So it's clear, if you only have the first five empowerments, you just have the commitment of the deity that the flower will indicate. Now, by obtaining the master empowerment, in order to empower students and establish oneself as the deity, one engages in the extensive approximation, which meditates without any decrease of the three concentrations, possessing the great yogas of self and completion. So this is the first case, or the medium approximation, condensing the rites for generating the supreme victory mandala, or the abbreviated approximation, which includes the recitation of 100,000 mantras for each of the great yoga deities. So you understand from that phrasing that there is more than one deity, right? Now we come to the second one, which is focusing on specific hand implements or on something which is much smaller. Which says, while clearly visualizing oneself as the deity, one holds one's mind on the small vajra hand implement at the tip of one's nose, similar in color to one's special deity. One should perform acts such as sending out and gathering the hand implements, etc., when the mind has stability on that. So we first of all, we shrink that hand implement, then we place it at the upper opening, and then after we have stability, we can hold that, we can visualize it clearly there, we start engaging in this exercise of sending it out and bringing it in again, and we concentrate on the color of it, on the light of the color of it as well. Now, we continue with the second one, which is yoga without signs, and it says, one resolves that the deity in front of oneself, together with the letters of the mantra, do not inherently exist. When one attains certainty on that, and the continuum of that determining awareness combines analysis and placements, one establishes the union of calm abiding and insight, comprehending emptiness. When one obtains such insight, one transfers to the path of preparation, etc., similar to before. So the presentation that we have here should not be something new. It's all related to what has already been explained about the yoga without signs. Mainly, we concentrate on the emptiness of inherent existence of all these appearances, and when we have certainty on that, then we start doing this alternation and this combination between analysis and placement. Now, during the time where you're cultivating your calm abiding, as before, you have to understand that one is still on the level of the path of accumulation. When you develop insight, you are at the path of preparation. And the the development along the paths in this way and the combination of calm abiding and special insight are exactly as have been explained before. Now, having explained briefly the first, the second, and the third part, the fourth one is the way to attain the siddhis, right? And you can see that there is quite an elaborate presentation on the siddhis in this particular chapter. Alright, so Rinpoche is suggesting that we stop here with the presentation of the text to allow some time for questions and answers. The question that was asked was to clarify this point as to what is the upper opening of the nose. I can't remember. Okay, it's the one on focusing on specific hand implements, where it says to hold it at the tip of one's nose. So the question was, where exactly is the tip? Is it actually that tip of the nose, or is it the upper part of the nose? And Rupshi was saying, really, in lower tantras, we do not have a detailed description of how the channels run and so forth, but it is... it would be better to assume that we're talking about the point between the two eyebrows,
right?
Some confusion arises because of the particular words that we use in Tibetan, which is na tse. Now, this first syllable, na, it can be translated as nose. Right. Usually, if we're talking about the five senses and you come across that particular word, you translate it as the nose. Tse means the tip or the top, the upper part. But also this na can be translated as, let's say, the upper or the most important. So to give you an example in a different context, if you look at an organization where you have, for example, the director, and then you have the main people such as the treasurer or maybe the manager, the people who are just right under the director, they're also called the na, right? They're not lower, they're not ordinary whatever workers, but they are like the upper ones, right?
This
so altogether.
This spelling, yeah, sana san na. So basically I find this not only, it usually means the nose and the five organs, but just it has other meanings. So when we said, so it has two meanings, and then according to Hare Tangsa, the center channel, I want to do the upper tip. So according to Hare Tangsa, like that. So here, as I just now really mentioned, the It doesn't talk that way, but the center of the two eyebrows. So here, content here, this means that the spot. The way you visualize the subtle vajra. Just one more. It's been some distance ago, but the one Rinpoche gave the example mirror before. So what Rinpoche was saying that the reflection in the mirror, the appearance of the reflection, you see, but understanding, you see, it is empty. Here, so there's a appearance of the face in the mirror, you see, but it's empty of face. So similar, so the thought of the yoga, the deity, you see, to that mind, there's appearance of the deity, the holy body, but understanding that is empty of true existence. That's the analysis.
On page 8, quickly went through Nalan Feldman's answer about the fourth paragraph down. He said there's no privation because we must accept an empty space and the subject adhere to the conceptual logic of awareness comprehending emptiness. I don't have the Tibetan in front of me, but this is because of the great commentary on the Majjhima Karika and stages of past Sika. But I don't quite understand that, because if it's an inferential cognizer realizing emptiness, if that's what that phraseology means, I thought only emptiness appears even to a conceptual consciousness, not the basis of the emptiness. Could Rinpoche clear that up for me?
Josh, can you rephrase it?
Can you repeat the question?
Usually an inferential cognizer, one of the seven ways of knowing, that's realizing emptiness, it's a valid way of knowing, to that only the object emptiness appears, even to a even to that conceptual mind, I thought. So I don't understand why it's what's the meaning here, that in the commentary to the Majjhima Nikayas, which is a sutra text, why it's saying that the conventional object is going to be appearing to that logical mind. If that's an inferential cognizer.
The previous one, the debate was that, you know, was on the point that one directly comprehends emptiness, right? And this one, in this point, Ngawon Pedden says, we're talking about conceptual awareness. That means we're working through the generic image.
Right? Mm-hmm. Which is just emptiness and not the appearance. Here, you had said in the note, the subject, the basis is subject, not the deity, appears to conceptual consciousness. And to that consciousness, I thought only emptiness would be appearing.
Okay. Let me find the Tibetan in that. 1 minute. Right, so your question, I found the Tibetan right. So your question is that if we are having, can you please repeat it? I mean, I'm still trying to understand it. I'm sorry about that.
If this phraseology means jetaksema, mm-hmm. it means an inferential cognizer mm-hmm. that's realizing, is comprehending emptiness, mm-hmm. it seems to me that still only emptiness appears, not the form of a deity. Mm-hmm. Certainly that would seem to be what's said in Lamsukhapa's commentary to Nargujuna.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Donc, rikshe tokche ge tomba
ni
tonshi chujen di yimba ina di jeba rwes
ne ri da ruji tokji se du ji ge tangyu tokji tok ding ni to ba na ji wa tongji zhi ji tok ding ni ge da yin ji jebo se ma se yang mi wa ri o da di tongji de nong gu ri se yin ji de tongji de nong gu wa di za ji chu jin ge gong wa ri se song yang mi wa ri wa mi da ji tokji dong tong mi ngo zhen de dabo lu ni la che ber do zi xie zha ga ri se ji de o da di yin di
ani bu chen de tong tong xi se wa ri se ri an de tong xi de
o ri tong ji se ji de pe na ji kong zo ge dong mi yin da yin ba yin na dao ji de kong zo yin du kong zo ge dong mi to bo ji bo che ma de la kong zo nong gu ge ri se kong zo ge teng ge tong ba ni de nong ma nong ge ki che yu a ma ri di ti tong yin de wo ye yin du ti nong wo ten ten ni ti ten ge tong ye de ngu se ta gu ge ri se wo da ti tong ye de kong zo yin ding chu ji dong mi to bo lu yin na tong ye de chu chu di yin ding
Now, I wonder if I should, you know, modify the translation on this. It's a draft, right? So, looking at the statement in Tibetan, Rinpoche was saying, even if we say that it is an inferential correct cognition on that point, if you are to understand the emptiness of something, you must have the basis of that something. So, for example, if you talk about the understanding the emptiness of the person is the basis of that emptiness. So the person has to appear into that consciousness, which is correctly, inferring the emptiness of inherent existence of the person, right? So you must have that appearing, and then on top of that, you will have, of course, you will be working towards the comprehension of emptiness. So this relative aspect is appearing.
To the inferential cognizer, you know, realizing emptiness at a generic level, to that, the basis of the emptiness, for example, if you're analyzing the emptiness of a person, the person would appear. And there is the appearance of the basis of emptiness, which is the person.
So that would mean when you had, on the path of preparation, when you had a generic image of emptiness with the union of Shinne and Latun, still the relative phenomena would be appearing? But I thought that's...
Between a conceptual mind and a non-conceptual mind.
Yeah, but that's still conceptual. Obviously, in the path of preparation, it's not a non-conceptual
mind. Yeah, but the children who come along, and so the Shinne and Latun, the Sunche, the Jube, Kala, Te kawla yang ngoronzo di tongshi nangi rwesa.
Nori. Da di zaji tujien na tazu sangsa na nangsi ji yang guiwari. Da ta sang yang guiwari. Yang di yikcha tazu dhamun da sang yang guiwari. Ji sera jiga yikcha tang, lusa lebe yikcha tazu kashi ga nangu mi mugir yin, nangir mayin singi jiga yuwari. Yang kashi ga nangir yin, nangu yu singi jiga yang guiwari. Da jiga sangga tsuta na nangu yanda ji sang yuwari.
Well, there's actually quite a lot of debate in that, and according to which monasteries Yikcha you look, they define it in a different way. And in most cases you find such an answer, such as they are the appearing object, but it doesn't necessarily appear. In others they say they are the appearing object, and it does appear. So it depends whose text you rely on. And which is Nangi Dugas and Dugas.
So good to come and do the lead on Boala, Tombo, and yourself, the top of color, but you know, you come on that you said. You want you come to Chigi, but you know that you're going to. They got it is in a drunk or so now that you jiramuji, Tomba and you go, Kurmambo song with the dinner. Jimmy Chang Dang, you Jijin Sheriff Sangi, the Jidi, that Honsa did not tell me you are. The good tea cabla, Jigo, Tombany, of course, on Duna Tombany, you assert the Tawag, turn on. Then he, the Tawag Duna, ငါစေကြည့်တင်ကငါမန္တကစံလေရှောက်ကအဲတုံးကကကွန်ဝန်ဒီရှောက်ချွန်ရယ်ဝါတနေ့ဂျီကတအဇောနာဇိကနဒနာထောင်းရင်ငါဒီကွန်ဘနောနေညေဆောင်ပါစေတနေ့ရင်ဒီဝတ်ငါတကြည့်တကစံရင်ငါနန်ငွေရယ်ဝါတောင်ပေါ်မှာရဇာနီတောင်းမေပါစေဟောဒီနာငါတောင်းမေပါစေသူငါဒီဇာနီတမန္တကစံစံရာကြီးနောင်ယုံဟာရင်ဒီဝတ်တောင်ပေါ်ကလာတင်တဲ့နန်ငွေရယ်ဒီတောဒီခဘောရင်ကယုံဝါတဲ့
I was just saying that probably if you're still a beginner and you have just comprehended emptiness for the first time, you just had this realization. Only the eye, for example, you're meditating on the emptiness of the eye, then you would lose the eye. You would not have these appearances of the basis of emptiness. Later on, the more you have familiarity with the experience and the more you analyze and meditate on that, you would have cases where both the appearance of the basis as well as the emptiness of that basis would appear. Arisha says, why am I saying that? It's because if you look into the writings of Je Rinpoche, where he's describing this experience, right, of the meditator who is meditating and for the first time realized emptiness. And straight away, because he was, emptiness was appearing to the mind, but the eye was not appearing. Of Nartang, yes. He was saying, you know, how this person had this experience, and he said the first time they realized emptiness, they had to hold on into something because they were feeling their self was disappearing. There was no I, there was no self. So they held on into their donka, right? Like this fear of the I disappearing, only emptiness appearing. And that in this case, Jayambache is saying, oh, you know, the practitioner from Nartang had the supreme realization when they crossed into.
So initially, the realization, inferential realization of emptiness would be only emptiness appears, but later, the continuity of that realization would be one where both emptiness and the object qualified, that's the basis for the emptiness, would both appear?
This would be the process, and I think with familiarity, eventually you start with thinking, yes, the emptiness of something, right? The basis. And the basis, is the basis appearing? And eventually you will see that, yes, there is an appearance of that basis. But exactly as how you would classify that, how you would call that, as we say, there is so much debate and there is so much different presentation in different texts. People call it the object, but not necessarily the appearing object, right? Or sometimes it will be the asset appearing, not ascertained, and so forth. All this. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Well, then when you get to the path of seeing, does the appearing object disappear again?
The appearing object of the basis?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm watching that. Tonglam topic kavla. Tongshi sargi duges min duges.
Well, that thing is a jijiga pi jivati noja. Masa mambu jiga, trom mambu jiga nani. Ngoma jiga ngoshi banda.
တင်တဲ့ကြီးမှာကြီးကောင်းစင်းနဲ့ထောင်းစမ်းကြီးကြီးကြီးထောင်းထောင်းဆောင်တဲ့တဲ့ရောက်ကြီးအကူမှာဆောင်ဆရာဒီကပ်ကြီးရှိဝတ်တင်းနှောင်းကြီးဝါရီနှောင်းရတဲ့အောင်ရှိဝတ်ရင်ကြီးကနှောင်းမာငီဝါဒီရှိဝတ်ကြီးကမာငီဝါရီရှိဝတ်ကြီးရင်ပါရင်နဲ့ညင်ကြီးပါရင်နဲ့တာဒီစကြီးကြီးခုရော်တယ် Now the question was, what will happen to the basis of emptiness? Would that continue to appear when one reaches the path of seeing? And Rinpoche was saying, I think it would be like this example that I gave before, that you are in a place where there is a large gathering, and maybe a friend of yours is in that large gathering. Because there is so much happening, you somehow you have this doubt, and you say, did I see my friend amongst this crowd? At one point, the image of the friend has appeared into your mind, right? But later on, it seems as if you don't really remember it, you don't recall it vividly, 100%. Rinpoche is saying, definitely you would be ascertaining emptiness, and somewhere in the back of your mind, you'll be thinking, yeah, somewhere there's this base of emptiness, isn't it? So the Rinpoche says it's not even clear if there's going to be two types of mind, two types of awareness, or whether it is one that is doubting about one factor and is certain about another factor.
I was saying,
like, maybe you want to look at this analogy of playing polo, like on the horse, right? Not the ice hockey, but the one where you're riding the horse. And you can see that if you were an untrained rider, you could not be doing both things together. Your main effort would be to remain on the horse rather than falling from that, right? Later on, once the more experienced you are to ride the horse, then you can play the game as well, you know, you can hit the ball as well. So Rinpoche was saying, what do you think in this case? Because you have a rider that is also playing polo, right? Is it two different activities? Is it one activity?
No, main focus, the mind, the ball or the ride on the horse. Which one is the main focus of the mind?
Is it one mind or two minds?
The question really is, are there two types of mind, or is it one mind that is both trying to ride the horse and hit the ball as well? So is it two different minds, or is it all happening on one mind? Well, he's... I think it's for the sake of debate. Okay. The last one. Okay. You're fighting over it. Okay, well, I'll take this one.
So the previous one, if you want to think about it, take your time, think about it, and later on maybe you want to offer an answer to that question. Okay, the last question.
Down just a couple of statements here. It says there is no pervasion because although the body of the relative deity does not appear, it is posited as deity yogi by means continuity. What is that means continuity? I missed that.
Because you have familiarity.
Okay, so means continuity means that I have familiarity with it. Okay, got it. Thank you.
I love one. More I think.
Тик-тик, дит. Все боком отчился. Так, где учился? Okay. Everyone's happy? Very good.
Наволи. Да, 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 да